A sharply divided Supreme Court today upheld the Cleveland School Voucher Program. By a 5-4 vote, the court ruled for the first time that taxpayer money may subsidize religious education. The court's ruling is one of its most important on separation of church and state. It at least sows the seeds for reshaping American education in a mold now widely advocated by Republicans. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The platform for the court's landmark ruling was built 6 years ago when the Ohio legislature, faced with dramatically failing schools in Cleveland, enacted a voucher program providing up to $2,250 to parents for private school tuition. The vouchers were to be awarded based on need, and any private school was eligible to participate, as well as public schools in suburban areas. They would be paid nearly three times that amount if they accepted inner-city students. In the end, though, no suburban school district accepted the vouchers, and 96% of the vouchers were used at religious schools. That prompted a lawsuit by taxpayers who claimed that their tax money was being used unconstitutionally to fund religious education. They claimed that with more than 80% of the schools participating in the program being religious, that parents using vouchers did not really have a choice. They won in the lower courts, but today the U.S. Supreme Court, by a 5-4 vote, upheld the Cleveland voucher program. Writing for the court majority, Chief Justice William Rehnquist said that the program did offer a true choice to parents, that the program was available to a wide variety of individuals, based only on their need and residence in the district. It doesn't matter, he said, that a majority of the private schools accepting vouchers are religious. It doesn't matter because the public school system has provided plenty of alternatives, from regular public classrooms to charter and magnet schools. The choice here, he said, was not coerced by the state in any way. The choice to attend religious schools was made freely by parents. The incidental advancement of a religious mission, he said, or the perceived advancement of a religious message, is reasonably attributable not to the state, but to the individual parent who uses the voucher at a religious school. The state's role ends with the disbursement of the money, said the Chief Justice. The decision was a huge victory for voucher proponents, including President Bush, who hailed the decision today. It will undoubtedly unleash battles across the country now that voucher proponents are no longer shackled by a constitutional cloud over such programs and have a model okayed today by the Supreme Court. But the outcome of those battles is hardly clear, as University of Texas professor Douglas Laycock observes.
I think it's a green light for any reasonably designed voucher program as far as the federal courts are concerned. There remains certainly all the state constitutional issues and the political difficulty of enacting these programs. So I don't think we're going to see an explosion of voucher programs.
Indeed, 37 states have state constitutions that also call for separation of church and state, and many of those state charters are more detailed and stricter in barring state subsidies for religion. The political fight, though, is on, as Clint Bullock, who's championed vouchers for years, noted today.
I think this will provide a powerful momentum boost for school choice programs around the country. This was the Super Bowl for school choice, and the kids won.
Gregory Baylor, director of the Christian Legal Society, said he looks forward to a forthright debate now in the states.
We've been blocked by this constitutional hurdle. That hurdle has been removed. Now, it's not as though voucher programs are required, it's just that they're permitted. So state legislatures and the federal government are now free, without this cloud hanging over them of possible unconstitutionality, to take up the merits of choice and find out whether we should do it as a nation.
Voucher opponents called today's ruling sad and said it would detract from what they called the real reforms needed in American education, things like smaller class sizes. But they said they would organize and fight vouchers everywhere. The Reverend Barry Lynn is president of Americans United for Separation of Church and State.
Our goal is to go state by state and to the Congress to make sure that this weed of school vouchers is not allowed to grow anywhere else.
Ralph Neese, president of People for the American Way, forecast what some of the debate will be about.
Too often, these voucher programs not only do not work, but they're subject to fraud and abuse. There's no accountability to the parents and to the taxpayers.
Sandra Feldman, president of the American Federation of Teachers, echoed that, noting that many questions are unresolved yet, including whether schools getting taxpayer money can discriminate in hiring based on religion, and whether the schools will have to live up to the same accountability as public schools.
Will they be open to all children? Will they test all children? Will they publish the test scores? Will they be subject to sanctions if they don't meet the statewide standards? These are issues that still have to be discussed.
Professor Jesse Choper of the University of California, who's written extensively in this field, says he thinks most religious schools are willing to pay the price of accountability.
We're at the stage, I think, of this voucher system in which recipient schools and religious organizations are willing to bend quite a bit, so long as they can continue to teach the kinds of classes that they want to teach.
Dissenting from today's decision were Justices Souter, Stevens, Ginsburg, and Breyer. They called today's ruling potentially a tragic mistake that would balkanize education based on religion and undermine the long-held principle that taxpayer money should not support religious practice or instruction. Said Justice Stevens, "Whenever we remove a brick from the wall that was designed to separate religion and government, we increase the risk of religious strife and weaken the foundation of our democracy." Just how far vouchers will go in supplementing or supplanting public schools is yet unclear. Right now, they exist only in Cleveland, Milwaukee, and in a pilot program in Florida. But in recent years, voters in 20 states have voted down voucher programs, often by very large margins. One of those states was California, which in 2000 voted them down by a margin of more than 2-1. Thus, it was a sign of what's to come today when, within hours of the Supreme Court's decision, a California state legislator proposed a state voucher program like Ohio's. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.